Hi, this is the Hackberry House of Chosen, bringing you a special series of recordings that I believe you will find encouraging to your life in Christ. I've been reading a book written in 1954 by Arch Campbell, missionary to Korea, from 1916 until just after the Korean War, after which, during that time, is when the book came out in response to a request for testimonies of the Christ-filled faith of the precious Korean people during one of their national nightmares. The book is called The Christ of the Korean Heart. Today we're on chapter 16, entitled, What Good Am I? Life looked very bleak for Kim Chang-ho, only 16 years old, and both hands gone. He couldn't work. He couldn't dress himself. He couldn't feed himself. Everything had to be done for him. A burden to everyone for a whole lifetime. What's the use of living? What good am I? No good to myself, no good to anybody else. Day after day, he lay on the hard floor, sobbing. Why not end it all now? But how? With both hands gone, he couldn't even kill himself. But one day, he did get hold of a bottle of sleeping pills, and with his two stumps, managed to pour a number of them into a brass bowl and swallow them. It was a close call. He was unconscious for 2 days, but his youth pulled him through. Never again was the bottle or any other instrument that might be used on himself left within reach. All he could do was lie and sob and moan and wish. How often the fateful events of that terrible day passed through his memory. 2 days after the communist invasion of South Korea had begun, the red tide had reached the edge of his hometown of Gimpo, near Seoul's airport. The whole student body of the high school had gone out to help the unseasoned soldiers of the newly organized army of the Young Republic of Korea, so inadequately armed by the American advisory group. Kim and his classmates had rushed into the battle zone with the fervor and recklessness of youth. They were used in carrying fresh ammunition to the hard-pressed fighting men. Kim was walking along a trench with a heavy box above his head. With a blinding flash and a deafening roar, a shell burst onto him a few feet away. The fragments tore at his hands as they were exposed above the ground level. He fell screaming with pain. The battle passed over him as he lay there, but no one paid any attention to him. The next day he managed to crawl back to his home, but it was a wreck. His hands pained him so much he could do nothing about food. After 2 days, his parents and older sister came back from the mountains where they had fled to escape the battle. His sister took charge, trying to wash his wounds, clean him up, and feed him. But within a week, the infected wounds were so bad that his parents realized they were beyond their help. His father carried him on his back to Seoul, now occupied by the communists. He found a Korean doctor who was willing to receive him as a case. The next day, he amputated both hands. Slowly, the wounds healed, and he finally began to gain strength with the continual ministrations of his sister. It was when the bandages were removed permanently that the full realization of his situation impressed itself upon him. He still must be fed like a baby. He still could not put on his own clothes. He could not help himself. He'd never be able to work for a living. He was a cripple, one to be avoided. He felt he just had to take his own life. He did not know what was beyond the grave. Spirits did roam around, he heard, but only those with faithful sons to sacrifice to them could expect any happiness in the next life. But nothing could be any worse than his prospects for this life. He was willing to take a chance. When he realized he couldn't even kill himself, his dejection was complete. Black despair covered everything. The war had passed through the village 4 times. Each time leaving greater scars. After each battle, the family returned. His father rebuilt one room of the house, enough for them to keep warm through the winter. The Americans came back into Seoul, and eventually the great Gimpo Airport was repaired. Warplanes of all descriptions landed and took off night and day. 2 years after his tragedy, he heard through a neighbor that they were putting artificial arms and legs on maimed people at the famous Severance Hospital in Seoul. Accompanied by his father and sister, he started forth to find out whether there'd be any chance of help for him. At the hospital, he was ushered into a room where sat a great, kindly-faced American. It was Pastor Reuben Torrey, D.D., missionary son of the famous evangelist and author R.A. Torrey. And this man, great, kindly-faced American, had an artificial arm and a hook on the end. This man seemed not at all ashamed of his affliction. There was no trace of discouragement or dejection, just the opposite. He seemed full of life and zeal and happiness. And what was more, he was doing something, not only for himself, but for other people. Kim sat fascinated as he watched this American use his hook unconcernedly, confidently, effectively. He was amazed as one unexpected action followed another. In his heart began the dawn of hope. Maybe he could someday be able to care for himself. Maybe he could even do things for others. Would he ever be able to earn his own living? In the days that followed, as he was being measured and fitted with hooks, he kept watching this strange American, so patient, so kind, so much interested in the many who, like himself, had lost arms or legs. Why had this man left his own country to come and serve Koreans this way? Plainly, it was not for money. Everyone was taken in, even those who couldn't pay a cent. Kim had heard of the wonders of America. He had seen the hundreds of beautiful planes. He saw marvelous, glistening automobiles that had come from that blessed land. Why would anyone want to leave such a place to come to poor and war-ruined Korea, especially one who had lost an arm? Often at night he would ponder this strange question. And then one day a young man who introduced himself as Lee Kan-suk began to talk to him. This man had an artificial leg, and he wasn't ashamed of it either. He also was happy and cheerful. He was glad to talk to such a man as this. Chang-ho found that he too had gotten his artificial leg from this big, kind American. Kim's question immediately came into his mind. Perhaps this young man could answer it. Why does this American leave his own rich and beautiful country to come here and help people like us, when he doesn't even understand our language? Oh, that's because he's a Christian. A Christian? What has that to do with it? It has everything to do with it. The Lord Jesus Christ was God's only Son, and he came from heaven to this earth to help us poor sinners because he loved us. He helped the sick and the poor and the lame and the blind. Then he died on a cross to pay the penalty for our sin. He puts that same love into the hearts of Christians so that we love others as he loved us. Are you a Christian? Oh, certainly. Well, tell me more about it. Love and kindness and help. That wasn't all of it. A life after death. Heaven. Far more wonderful than America, an endless life there. And all of it God's gift, free to all who would believe it and receive it. It was too strange and wonderful to be grasped all at once, but the world seemed to change as Lee unfolded the story each time he came to visit him. Won't you come with me to church next Sunday? We gather to worship God, our Heavenly Father, and to praise our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, I want to go. I must know more about God and His wonderful Son. A world of which she had not had the slightest conception opened up before Kim Chang-ho. That great, beautiful Bethany church that had come through the three great battles for soul hardly scratched, the sweet music of the choir. He didn't know there were such things. And all that crowd of people, the church filled every Sunday, and they all seemed to be so happy. Such different people, in spite of the fact that they were nearly all refugees from North Korea. Pastor Han's words were so wonderful every Sunday. Kim could not understand all that they meant, but they brought a strange warmth to his heart. He soon learned how to pray. Day after day, he read the wonderful book that Lee had given him. Why hadn't he heard these marvelous things before? Those 2 years of black despair would have been so different. After several months, he was received as a catechumen, a learner, in the great church. Just before leaving Seoul, after his year of training, he was baptized and received into full membership. He went with the wonderful American to the new amputee project set up at Taejon, where shops were being built for the making of artificial legs and arms. He'd become a close friend of this great man. Although he could not talk to him very much, he always understood his meaning. For several months he was sent to the fine American hospital at Chunju, where he began teaching amputees how to use their new hooks. Then he was back in Taejon, doing the same thing. I was fascinated as I watched him playing Chinese checkers, deftly picking up the little men, jumping them along the squares. Then he'd pick up a pencil and write down the score. He teaches his pupils to play ping-pong, catch bean bags, wash dishes, and sweep the floors. Not long after he had found his Savior, he became anxious to go home and tell his parents and his sister the wonderful story. The older folks couldn't understand it all very well, but they sought out the church in Kimpo and became regular attendants. His sister, however, caught the wonder of it from him. How she rejoiced in this precious good news. Soon she was attending the pre-dawn prayer meetings each morning and pouring out her soul to God like the other faithful women. Kim told his story in the homes of the people of his village. Many of his friends took Christ as their Savior too. The church doubled in size. But the war had left everyone reduced to poverty. There just wasn't any way to get back on their feet financially. "I'll see about that," said Kim Chang-ho. He secured 200 duck eggs from the United Mission Agricultural Project at Taejon. He brought them to his village and cared for them on the warm floor as he had learned from the agricultural missionary. 119 ducklings hatched out and started waddling and peering about. Now the ducks have multiplied many times, and chickens and rabbits have been added. The eggs and the meat are taken to Seoul and find a ready market. Prosperity has returned to the village. The people say, "A boy without any hands brought us back to life." Kim grinned at me. I thought I was no good anymore. I thought I had nothing to live for. Now, here I am, a teacher of others. Dr. Torrey is the most wonderful person I've ever seen. To me, he's almost like Jesus. I went to Seoul to try to get 2 new hands, but I got so much more. I found the Lord Jesus Christ. I found eternal life. I found hope and joy and love and usefulness. And that's the end of chapter 16. If you'd like a fuller introduction to this book, go to my homepage here at Sermon Audio. There is a blog toward the top of the page where with the same name as the book. If you click on the blog, you'll get a little more detail about the author and the contents of the book. Of course, be sure to look through the sermons for chapters you may have missed. We have now 16 of the 17 chapters of this book online. As we pray constantly for North Korea, it is profitable to see what good things are in store for the entire peninsula when Christ is given His rightful place in the Korean heart. Let's keep praying for North Korea and South Korea, and pray for yourself and myself that we will always be doing what God wants us to do. Amen.